music stand in there? Is there a music stand in there?
Uh-oh. Here we go. Sorry. Check, check, check. Will that do? Oh, it is on my face. It is now not on my face. It is next to my face. And I'm going to grab this chair here. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Scott. Thanks. I need this music stand so I can surf Facebook. I mean, so I can read my notes. Well, no. Though if somebody texted me right now, I'd probably be very distractible, but I need the clock there. Okay, I'm going to shut these here doors so we don't get distracted by John and his brilliant songwriting. And then you guys think you want to go over there. Hey, welcome. Wow. There's a lot of us in here. Hi, Corey. Well, welcome. Hi, Sherry. I'm just so distractible today. I know I said this before. I'm so excited. This is so fun. Like, there's got to be, like, a lot of us in here. I could probably do the math, but I don't want to. This is so great. I love meeting with all you guys and meeting all these new people, and it's just fantastic. So, my name is Joel Van Mersbergen, and I'm on staff here. And today we're going to talk about creating an atmosphere of engagement, which, as we all as worship leaders know, is super easy, right? Yeah. So this would be like a 3-minute talk, and then we could talk about football or something like that. No. Boy, difficult thing to do, isn't it? And the funny thing I think about creating engagement is it's so subjective. Somebody was even saying it at the group we were just talking about, is how, Carrie, it was you. You're talking about, we don't always know what's going on in somebody's head. I'm a very expressive person, and so I worship that way. But my dad is very opposite of me, but I know that my dad's engaged in worship when I'm watching him. But you wouldn't always be able to tell based on what someone's doing, right? So, my hope today is as I share that we can all learn something. But I don't want to talk at us the whole time. I would love this to be a discussion. And if you have questions, feel free to put your hand up. And then I'd like to leave, I'd love to try to leave maybe half of this time for some questions and answers. And yeah, just to hear what other people are dealing with. Not that I have all the answers, because that's the first thing I'd want to say, is that I have by no means arrived in this. In fact, I wasn't even supposed to teach this originally. It was supposed to be Ryan Spiker from CTK, but he had something else come up and he wasn't able to be here. But I have by no means arrived. Every time I lead worship, all of our teams are not fully engaged always, and our congregation isn't lost in worship always. Not a struggle, but you know, it's a thing. It's a part of our job that we have to do all the time for me as well. So I'm excited to see where our discussion goes today. Does that sound good? So when I think good. Okay. When I think about this, this is a brand new music stand. It's very wobbly. When I think about engagement, the funny thing is the very first thing that comes to my mind often is this wonderful little old lady who is at the church that I grew up at. I grew up at Word of Life here in town. It's not Word of Life anymore, but I grew up there. And I bought my first guitar from my youth pastor, John Steele, if anybody knows John Steele. And it was a shiny 1980-something or 1990-something red Fender Stratocaster, and I still have it. It's right on the other side of that wall in my office. But I remember the few times that I would play on Sunday mornings. I would love it. It was a lot of fun. But every time I would play, there was always this very nice lady who was very faithful at our church. She was always there. But she would, whenever I was on there, she would be sitting in the back like this. She was a, you know, and I never even met her, but I know she was really nice. She's great. She was always there. But it seemed like whenever I saw her, she was totally not engaged. She was like this during worship, sitting down. I'm like, come on. They don't even have me up in the mix. I know it. But still she was, yeah. And it just kind of offended me, and it has stuck with me, and I'm not bitter or angry, but I do think it's kind of funny. But we all deal with some sort of that, some sort of thing like that, don't we? How many of us are worship leaders who are either like the main leader or leading songs or so? Yeah. And how many of us are like musicians playing on the teams? Any tech people in here and behind the scenes? Nice. Yeah. But we all deal with this one, don't we? We all deal with this one every Sunday, don't we? And sometimes it can throw us off. Sometimes we can brush it off, right? Or sometimes if you allow coffee in your worship center, sometimes it's this one. Make me sing. But we all deal with that, and it's intimidating, and sometimes it's discouraging. It's not always fun for us, is it? And that's why we're here. We want to, I know we all have the same heart. We all want to figure out, how do we get our people to engage? How do we get our people to get all they can out of worship? Because we know, as people who are doing this, as people who are leading the worship, we know there's so much to be gained by fully being engaged with the Lord in worship, right? By going past the music part of it and just engaging with God, we know that there is so much richness there, and being able to communicate with our God that way, and when we see people who are like that, it can be discouraging, can it? So I think the first thing that we should determine, though, together as we're talking about this, is what kind of engagement are we looking for? What does it look like? What do you think? What does engagement look like?
Countenance on their face.
Nice.
Of the
countenance on the face of their audience. Yep.
And, well, so I'm in the back of the house, so I'm mixing. And so I see the production crew, you know, their countenance, and sometimes that's a reflection of what's going on in the audience. Because I always see the back of the head. But if there's a smiling presence, a glowing presence, from the stage, not just reflection off our lights, but it's
openness, it's something. You see the head bobbing, you see other things going on in the audience, but it's an interaction. That's good, yeah. I'll talk with our sound guys about that sometimes too. They can kind of tell, gauge the room. They can gauge the volume sometimes too by people's reaction.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carissa, what does engagement look like? So we're all wanting to create how to be engaged worshipers, and we all want our congregation to be engaged worshipers. So what does that look like?
I think over the years, because I was at Word of Life with you,
yeah,
and I go to First Reform, and I think that sometimes, like, I feel like I used to, like, you watch people during worship, but I think there's like a day coming where, like, you are so in tune with the one who it's about, that you're not noticing. Because a lot of times when I sing, I do not know how to get up there and put on a smile. Because I'm not like animated in a stage presence. But if you could see my heart, like, it is, like, I'm there with what's going on and stuff. So I sometimes feel like he said, that was the worst worship set we've ever had. And like, nobody's in it. And somebody in the stage, God totally reach down, because he still will use whatever, if you're faithful, that you'll still somehow use it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, for me anyway, when I'm leading, I engage, or I judge engagement by the direction of their focus.
Mm.
Are they looking at me? Are they looking at words? Or are their eyes closed? Are their eyes up? Are there, so not even necessarily the way their face looks, but the direction, the focus of their body or their gaze. If they're looking at me, I feel kind of like that's the wrong direction.
Stop it.
Like,
yeah.
You're not there yet.
That's really good. I haven't thought of that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When I'm in the congregation, I know when I'm engaged because my eyes are shut. I may or may not get the words right. I don't know what's happening on stage because my focus is there, and that makes a great sense. Definitely engaged.
That's good, Amy. Yeah.
You may keep in mind that there is a
a lady who was always like this. And we were doing worship, and my mind is so distracting because you think, what am I doing wrong? Somebody just shared that recently. And you know, but you can get to a conclusion really quick, and it affects because it causes distraction. So you're thinking about this person, you're thinking about this, you forget about who you are doing this for. And one day, this lady, finally, I came and I said, I was so afraid of her that I didn't even want to say hi to her.
That's good. Yeah. I saw a hand.
Kind of piggybacking off that too, is that to tell someone that has that look of what was it, bad tacos or something on their face, that would irritate them to say why you have that look on their face, because it's like, who are you to judge? You know, like, one person, then it becomes, you know, this, that's not why we're talking about.
Yeah. All sorts, yeah.
I don't want to judge those people's faces, but I also want to engage them. Like, I want to learn how to find other ways of getting those people to snap out of their, Saturday issue and to be here with Sunday.
That's good, yeah. What church are you at? Okay, nice, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's kind of learning personalities too, cultural and personality issues, learning that everybody's just a little bit different. So I think you guys, we're all hitting what I think as well. I think we all agree. It's not necessarily the expressiveness or lack thereof that really can show us or can indicate a person's engagement. Right. Sometimes it can, but not necessarily. I think before we go on, I wanted to zero in on a specific scripture that I think is really important for us to think about as we're thinking about our congregation, as we're thinking about our worship teams, and any of the worship stuff where we want to affect people and help them to be engaged greater. Hey guys, there's some folding chairs up here if you want, unless you're welcome to stand. Okay, good. Sometimes I do that so I pay attention better. Not today. So the scripture that has been profound for me is John 4, 23 and 24. And it's the story of Jesus at the well and where he meets the Samaritan woman. And I actually preached a message on this a year ago. And as I studied it and unpacked the scripture, it's a fascinating story, really, what Jesus was doing. But this is what I want us to think about. Verse 23, he says, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way." Verse 24, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." That's the kicker right there, isn't it? Verse 24 again, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And I think what that means is true worship takes place in the heart. Right? It takes place on the inside, not necessarily on the outside. True worship takes place on the inside, in the heart, or in the spirit of the worshiper. And while it's really easy to judge engagement by what you see, the truth is that worship, that true worship, really comes from the inside. And when Jesus said that the worshipers are those who worship in spirit and in truth, he was saying that true worship happens on the inside, and that really that's the engagement we're looking for. So when we as leaders, when we as worship leaders long for and desire for our people or for our teams to be engaged, really what we're longing for is for our people to truly be worshiping from the depths of their beings, right? And that is a real deep thing. And that comes with lots of processing, lots of growth, lots of learning, and lots of prayer in each of those people. Would we agree? Yeah. So that's where worship happens, on the inside. And when we talk about engagement, that's what God calls true worship. And that's our target. And we have to learn that when we're up there leading, or when we're watching people, that we need to be the bigger people and get past whatever the outside might look like what you were saying, Raul. We gotta get past, you know, the lifting of hands or lack thereof. We need to get past the scowl or the smile and realize that there's lots going on in people, and they very well could be like just in it, or they could not. You know, it could be that the outside is a reflection of the inner. And I was reminded also of that when I was thinking about that, I was reminded of Samuel, of 1 Samuel 16, where Samuel is out looking for the next king of Israel. Saul is screwed up, and so he's going to be replaced. And so the Lord leads Samuel to Jesse, and so Samuel first sees one of Jesse's sons. And Samuel's reaction is like, there he is, right there. That's the guy. And God says, no, in verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the way you see them, or doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's what we need to be. That's what we need to do. That is 1 Samuel 16, 7. I'm reading out of the New Living. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we can look at the outside. It's okay. We can do that. But what's most important is the condition of people's hearts, right? And that's what we've been doing all along, right? As we're leading worship, and as we're praying for our congregation, as we're leading our teams, we're always concerned with our heart. And I think what a powerful thing for us as worship leaders to do is to then adapt that part of our passion to our passion for wanting people to be engaged. Does that make sense? So as we want that, we've got to realize that what we really want is for our people to be healthy and whole in the Lord. And I think, and so I've got four things. I think there's four things that I try to do that I have found valuable. And like I said before, I am not an expert. I'm just sharing from my experience and what I've done. And what I feel is mandated in Scripture, and what I feel has worked well. I want to share four things that I try to do. And again, Amy, you can be the judge if I actually do these things. Always say yes. And the first one I would say is we as worship leaders need to get right and be real. I think that is one of the most important things. Get right and be real. If we are going to lead people in worship, we have got to be right with God. We've got to. And if there's sin in our lives that the Lord is asking us to give up or to stop or to turn away from, or even if there's just, you know, useless things, like maybe you're on Facebook too much, I don't know. But we've got to be right with the Lord if we are going to lead people in worship. I think that's one of the first things, as I was praying through this, is the first thing that I thought would be, hello. We've got to get right. Reminds me of the story of Achan. Who knows the story of Achan and the battle at Ai? Yeah, in Joshua. So Israel, Joshua leads this battle, and then God tells everyone, hey, leave all the plunder. Leave it. Don't touch it, and move on. And this guy Achan sees, I don't remember what it was, I think it was some silver or something, like it was silver. And he said he looked upon it and it looked cool. That's my paraphrase. And he took it and he hid it under his tent. So nobody knew about it, but he hid it. He wanted it and he kept it. And then, so then Israel goes off to this next battle, and everybody was even saying, this will be easy because there's so few of them. And they lost miserably, and people died. And so Joshua comes back and he prays to the Lord. He's like, what happened? And God revealed, hey, there's sin in the camp. And eventually, through a whole bunch of things, they were led to Achan, and he confessed, and then he and his whole family died. I'm not saying that's going to happen in worship leading. but a little healthy fear is okay, right? No. But I do think what we can draw from that is that our lives and our sin that we harbor has far-reaching consequences.
Amen.
Yeah, and especially when we're talking about the pastoral duties of leading worship. Because what we do is pastoral, right? It's not just song leading. We're not just singing songs and entertaining people. We're trying to shepherd people in their walk with the Lord. And so if we're not right, then something's not going to work right. And so I would just encourage you and encourage all of us. And I'm saying it to myself too. Let's all be aware. If God's asking us to get rid of something in our lives, we have to be right with Him. And then the next part of that, so get right and be real. People can smell a fake a mile away. You know, it's true. You can. How many have ever gone to, you know, listened to a sermon or a pastor or somebody leading worship that you've seen? And I don't mean to be derogatory or anything like that or to put anyone down, but we've all been there, right? Like, or even just communicators. Edit. Okay, good. You know, people can smell a fake a mile away. And so if we're gonna get up there and put on a show and put on some sort of face, and I don't even mean being deceitful, but if you're gonna get up and do what you think other people would do and do what you think you probably should do instead of being yourself and instead of doing what's right, people are not going to respond well to that. If people perceive that it's artificial, they will not have the conviction to put everything they have into it. Does that make sense? So I think that the first things that we can do as lead worshipers, like John said, is get right and be real. I think this is the first best things that we can do. Oh, yeah, I wanted to share this with you. I think one of the best times, one of the highlights over the last couple of years of my worship leading was a time, it was a Wednesday night service, and I was dealing with some anxiety before, and I was just really nervous. And sometimes I struggle with anxiety, and so I was really nervous before a service once, and that rhymes. And so I got up there, and I always like to bring some sort of an encouragement or some sort of exhortation or share a scripture that hopefully our people can use right there in worship. And I didn't, like, I just felt like I needed to share about it and let everybody know, hey, I'm off tonight. I'm really battling some anxiety. And I got such good feedback from it. And not that it was yay me, but more it was people really felt disarmed by that. And it broke the ice, and people really felt that was honest. And while I was exposing my weakness, in fact, I think I got a text from you that night. I remember that, yeah. So, be real. If you're struggling, be real about it. You got that? Get right, be real. Number two, Scripture. Scripture, the Bible. If we truly believe, like Jesus said, if we truly believe that worship happens on the inside, if true worship comes from the heart, then we have to remember that we cannot change a person's heart. I can motivate you. I can influence you. I could suggest things to you that you might follow, but I can't change you. I can't change anybody's heart. I could point you to Scripture, though, right? And so we have to remember that as we want our people to engage in worship and to be true worshipers, we have to remember we can't change a person's heart, and only the Holy Spirit can really do that. Only the Holy Spirit can bring true conviction that really brings life change and draws people closer to Him, which is what we want, right? So let Him, allow Him to do that. Surround yourself, surround your teams, surround your worship programs with Scripture. Read a Scripture before practice sometime. Send an email to your teams or to people on your team of a Scripture, or open up worship with a verse that God's been speaking to you through lately, or if there's a new song that you're doing that interlocks with the Scripture as well, like, share that. Just get the Word of God around you and inundate people with it, because That's what we need, right? And that's what's going to have that effect that will draw people closer, that will bring conviction, that will bring life change, and that will draw people closer to Him. Yeah, let the living Word of God bring people to wholeness in Christ and to a place of true worship. I try to do that. I try to have Scripture here and there and make sure that everything we do. Though on our worship teams, we try to focus a lot on excellence. I figure if we're going to do it, let's do it well. If we're going to do the song, let's do it well. But I really try to make sure that we're always bringing it back to, okay, it's about Him. And we bring Scriptures to emphasize that. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Cool. Are you getting lots of questions to ask? You can raise your hand if you have any questions too. Carissa.
Well, the one thing that about what you said before about atmosphere, sometimes I know myself, sometimes I'm having such a hard week, and sometimes you come almost, I mean, obviously if you came crawling into church, people would think you were crazy, but literally at a heart level, you're doing that. So if you see somebody standing with their arms crossed, at least they're there, and sometimes your music and your worship is more like marinating them than them being able to engage, because that's all they have.
Mm.
And then your worship becomes like they're soaking in it and not something that they have to engage in, but at least they're there. Because I sometimes feel, at least I'll say for myself, I'm so quick to judge what they're doing or what they're not doing.
Mm.
And sometimes the fact that they're there, we don't know what's going on in their life, and that maybe the words just showering over them are bringing them peace.
Mm. That's good, yeah. Yeah, just remembering where people are coming from.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Two, we cannot limit God. I had one time I was at a concert and I did not want to be there. And I told my sister if I had a choice, I would go home. Within less than 1 minute, God had put me on my face. Less than 1 minute. It's not emotionalism and I had a bad attitude. Less than 1 minute and I wept the entire concert. He can use anything, anytime, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, do not limit Him in any way.
Absolutely. That's cool. Yeah. That's good, yeah. And something you said there reminded me, I meant to hit this earlier. This is, like, these are things that, it's not just for worship leaders. I mean, David, this is stuff that you can do from the kit. Like, bring a scripture to rehearsal. Scott, these are things that you can do from the sound booth, you know? All these things, I think, are things that doesn't necessarily have to come from leadership, but, you know, lead from the middle. Yeah. All of us can apply this and do this in some way. And especially, yeah, both of you, like talking about prayer. God works through prayer, right? We're all supposed to pray. Yeah. That's the fourth point, but we're not there yet. Yeah.
I think one of the best examples of engagement in Scripture is in Revelation 4, when you have the four living creatures around the throne. And, you know, I used to think, you know, they're singing holy, holy, holy all the time. And I used to think that man, how could you do that like forever, right? Like when you want to, you know, you might have some appointments or need to do something. But then I realized that here in the presence of God, they see Him, they experience Him, they can't help themselves but to worship.
Mm.
And so that when we're talking engagement, if a church, the body of believers, if they focus on who He is, the enormity, the beauty, then worship follows.
Mm.
And there's the example, you know, we talk about spirit and truth. You know, Jesus is talking to Pilate saying, I come to testify to the truth. He's talking about Himself.
Mm.
The truth is a person, right?
Yeah.
And so there is, so I think as in talking engagement, it's almost like taking a half step back and not doing it on your own, but in a sense of, okay, God, I want to know You. I want to know who You are, which in turn, as Revelation 4 proves, is that we just can't help ourselves but to express worship and tell Him how great He is.
Mm. Yeah, that's really good. Hey, Gary.
In terms of
Yeah.
That's
really good too. Yeah, yeah. I love those ones where He turns around and like, yet I will praise the Lord. You know? Yeah. Good. Yeah, yeah. Olivia.
In terms of scripture, I also think, you know, my guess is most of us in here connect to worship through music quite well, but that's not a reality for everybody. And so scripture is another level of connection for those who aren't musically inclined. You know, it's another way to engage them in worship and to help direct hearts that are different than ours.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. Did everybody hear that? Yeah, just realizing that not everybody connects musically, but reading a scripture, you know, scripture is another way, a different
medium,
yeah, to connect to different personalities and different brains. That's really good. I just want to share my the last two points. So number three would be model it and encourage it. You can't make anyone do it. You can encourage it, though, and then you can yourself do it. So be an engaged worshiper. Even when you've got to carry the load of playing a song that you've never played before or leading a bunch of people you've never led before, whatever you're doing, be an engaged worshiper. Just be that person and be an example. It's exactly like John was saying before, too. He said so many great things that I have right here. That he was talking about being that lead worshiper because we, you know, on the stage are an example in a sense. People are looking to us as an example. So be a good example. Be that engaged worshiper and then encourage it. Find ways where you can encourage people to raise their hands and then maybe read a scripture about raising hands and talk about why we do that. Encourage people, hey, sing. If you don't usually sing this morning, why don't you sing with us today? You know, the Bible says, yada, yada, stuff like that. Just encourage that engagement and lead them towards that target that we really want. And then fourth is pray. Pray. Pray that God would help move you and the people around you into greater engagement. And I put that last, but absolutely not least, that really should be like the first thing we're doing because ultimately He's the one that's going to make that heart change, right? In us and in the people that we're leading. So pray for you people. Pray for your teams. pray that God would make you and make us, make the church engaged. So those are the four things that I think about often, that I have found have had good impact over my few years of leading worship. What are some other things that you guys do? Worship leaders, what do you do with your teams? People who are on teams who are not necessarily worship leaders, what are some ways that you make sure that you yourself, or what ways that we make ourselves engaged worshipers? Amy. Cool. That's good.
Yeah,
Carlo.
I'll tag on that. Sometimes in the worship leader, I'm really excited to learn or introduce a new song, and maybe I'm a little bored of the songs because I sing them 20 times as much as everybody. And so I'll go in with a song that I'm not that prepared for, and so I'm focusing on the chords, the words, the band, the congregation, and I'm not worshiping. Versus just going, hey, take my time a little more, learn a song better, and know that the congregation is not nearly as bored with the songs that I'm leading as I'm leading. And kind of, you know, say, hey, take your time and do some new stuff.
That's good. That's really good. Yeah.
Just to tag on that too, in the times that I do lead, I like to connect with the pastor. What is the theme? What is the topic that he's going to be bringing the message on that particular morning? And because I believe that music can also, and the songs can also be used to prepare hearts.
Mm.
Service with a song too in response, and so just to kind of tie all of that together and again bathe it all in prayer.
That's really good. Yeah, we try to do that a lot. We try to know what Pastor Kurt is going to speak about before, and then choose the songs after that. Yeah, we as in Becky Gerlach, she usually does that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So there's a whole other side of engaging, not just through music, but outside of being on stage as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I would say even if you have that chance to make that contact with someone, you might change like their entire relationship with you. And so the next time you're leading them in worship, like you're touchable then. You're not this. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we want, isn't it? Because then you have influence in their lives. That's a great point. Yeah.
I think that's sometimes what can happen is they can almost view you as somebody that's high up. Like they're up on stage almost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm just this person in the congregation, you know. But I think like what she's saying, if you go out and reach out to people, you know.
Yeah.
Just like you know, God's gifted me with some talent maybe. But, you know, other than that, I'm just like you. I'm a person. I struggle with the same things you do.
Yeah.
Right, be real.
Yeah. Oh, hey, there you go. That's good. Someone should write that down. Rachel, yeah.
For cooking.
Yeah. That's good. I saw, was it your hand? I saw some hand over here, yeah.
To tag on to that, she hasn't done it that I know for a little while, but one of the things, I'm not a worship leader, I'm on the worship team leading worship. what Carissa would do would have a jar, a box with whoever was on the worship team that night. And have us draw a name for practice, during practice, like 4 days before Sunday, and have us pray for that person that we drew their name. And I do. I think that is so important and so crucial in us as a worship team. And it's just really put on my heart that whether I draw a piece of paper or not, to be praying for those people, especially the day of the practice or the day, you know, Sunday morning. Be praying before you even get to church for everybody on the team. And it works.
Hmm. That's good.
Whether they are aware of it or not.
Yeah. Sneaky.
Yeah. What an awesome privilege.
Yeah. Yeah. We got time to think for one more. Make it good. No, I'm joking. That's good, yeah. That's another way of kind of stepping down off the stage, isn't it? Just being real. Yeah. I like that. I like the reframing of a song. I like how you said that, that sometimes it might be a song that you've sung a billion times before, but kind of reframing it for your congregation there. That's awesome. I think that's good. Boy, we could go for hours, couldn't we? But we can't. Well, let me pray. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening. Hopefully this is helpful to us. This is great. Yeah. God, thank you for the privilege of being able to lead your people in worship. And Lord, just thank you for all these people who are passionate not just about singing songs and making songs happen, Lord, but these are people who are passionate about seeing people come to serve you. Lord, we just ask that you would help us. Lord, whether it's these 4 points I shared or whether it's something somebody else said, we ask by your Holy Spirit you would help us to remember the things that that you want us to do to have a better effect on the team around us and a better effect on the congregations that we lead. But Lord, we just pray over all those under our influence, whatever they may be within our influence, and we just ask that that you would make them and make us true worshipers. Help us to be engaged at all times, you know, on the stage and in our car and wherever it may be. But we want to be true worshipers of you and to always be engaged, Lord. And we just thank you for what you've done for us. And yeah, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good discussion, guys. All right, go ahead and head back out there. Go ahead and sit in the center for now, and then we're going to break into our groups again.